For the 23-24 season, Talking Wolves is proudly supported by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport venues are showing every single one of Wolves' televised fixtures throughout this season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, why not get your mates together, get yourself down to a Green King pub and get closer to the action.
That's right, Dave, and Green King Sport have recently launched their Green King Sport Instagram page. It'll have a load of content on there, some deals and some competition throughout the season. So please do us all a favour. Do us all a favour here at Talking Wolves. Follow the Green King Sport Instagram page so you're the first to know about it. Now it's time to get stuck into the podcast. Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. As you can probably tell by my tone, it's going to be a jubilant one. I'm not alone, though. I am joined by the main man himself, Dave Azzopardi. Dave, how you feeling, mate? Are you feeling, what did that dazzling Dave say? I'm feeling pretty good, man.
How about you, man? I'm feeling good. Yeah,
man.
Has anybody seen? I won't do it again. I'm good. Nice to get a surprise 3 points. So, yeah, feeling good the last few days.
Jord, how are you, mate? Fresh trim?
Yeah, fresh trim. It's the army cutting it. Nice to get shit. Yeah, no, all good. Obviously, yeah, fantastic weekend, I guess, all being told. I ended up not going to the Crystal Maze due to my mum not being very well, bless her, but managed to get a ticket very late on Friday evening. You know, I would never have forgiven her anyway, to be fair, missing Man City 3 points, being locked in the Crystal Maze with her, but yeah, it's worked out quite well. We moved it and she's all right, bless her. So no, I got to the game and yeah, what a day.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've always wanted to do that Crystal Maze, you know. We spoke about it at work, about doing it. Have you done it before, Jord?
Nah, but I was a massive fan back in the originals, which I'm not sure if you guys will actually remember the originals with Richard O'Brien.
The 60s, isn't it?
Charlie Chaplin used to present it.
Yeah.
Now, didn't they use
Billy Wright on the celebrity one?
Vera Lynn. Didn't they used to have run like the repeats on Challenge? The bloke with the bald head that used to present it, host.
That's him, Richard O'Brien. Yeah.
It used to be such a good program. That did. I used to watch because it used to be. You used to have that. You used to have Fort Bayard. You used to have Takeshi's Castle.
Class.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a few games.
It's a bullseye.
Crystal Maze. Yeah. Because at the end, you have to grab all the tickets, don't you?
Yeah. So I think you get golds, earn your money, and silvers, lose your money. I think that's how it works anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you know if they do that at the Crystal Maze experience? You get to win anything, or I've not looked into it.
I don't know. I think it was bullseye. I used to win a speedboat. I don't think you win a speedboat.
Yeah,
it
is.
Like that,
used to.
Maybe you just win a certificate.
Sally on the 15th floor of a high rise on a speedboat.
From Tamworth, yeah.
Yeah. Most landlocked county in the country. Fantastic.
Talking Wolves international break, Crystal Maze.
Well, let's do it. Yeah, that'd be unreal. Dave, what have you been up to, mate? Anything nice?
I was at a 40th on Friday. Not mine, obviously.
George.
No, it was 60th. That's it, really. Did I even play football last week? Yeah, I played a bit of football last week. Not been doing a fat lot, to be fair. Obviously, had the disappointment of last Tuesday as well, which we'll talk about. Yeah, been a pretty quiet week there.
Yeah. Where have you just been? Do you want to tell the listeners?
Yeah, we've just been to Molyneux, the head of it. It's less than 2 weeks away now. It's coming around really quick. It's the first ever Wolves 7-a-side Content Creators Cup. I'll put the Just Giving link in the description. So we're raising money for the Wolves Foundation, but it's us, Dazzling Dave channel, always Wolves 77 Club, Wolves Fan Cast, Wolf Whistle, the Wolf Pack. And then the Wolves staff have got a team and the Wolves Foundation have got a team. So all the details will be out on Tuesday, which is the day the pod comes out anyway. So, yeah, keep an eye out for those. But, yeah, it's a week on Sunday. It's going to come around quickly.
Yeah, I'm away that weekend. I'm going to see the lads back at uni, but I've booked an earlier train, so I should, touch wood, should be back in time for the first game. So I'll have to come on. I'm not paying £5 for a spectator ticket. I'm the team captain.
You're paying 10.
There was only one bar a mile long. I feel like it's going to be quite a good podcast, but unfortunately, we do have to talk about Ipswich Town versus Wolves on Tuesday. Dave, quite an elusive game to watch. A lot of people struggled to find a stream. I managed to find one, but oh mate, how bad was it, man? It was awful. Let's not dress it up as something else it isn't.
I mean, after being 2-0 up so early on, I was rubbing my hands together and thinking, oh mate, we're staying up and we're going to win the cup. You know, I was loving life.
Going down, are we?
Huang scoring again. And obviously Totti then scoring after the corner. And yeah, I thought, you know, our job literally was just to keep hold of the ball. You know, Ipswich, yes, we knew they were a good side in good form, but keep hold of the ball, show our Premier League quality and we'll be into the hat for the next round. And don't know what happened. Absolutely abysmal after that second goal went in, to be honest. And although we had a lot of control of the ball in the second half, we didn't do a lot with it. And, you know, Ipswich, you know, sort of out, I was going to say out of nothing, but I think their build-up play was pretty nice. But the goal they scored for the winner was fantastic, to be fair. Although Bentley probably should have done better for all three goals.
Yeah, this is a problem when you bring a keeper in from the cold, though. We've seen it with Ruddy. How many times did he make mistakes in the cup? Unless you're playing. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but
of course,
he's rusty, isn't he? But Jord, what were your thoughts on this game? I personally thought I'd have probably hooked Santiago Bueno off at half time. If I'm honest, he had an absolute stink. He was bullied by that big lad they had up top for him. Yeah, I know he hasn't played much football recently, but that whole back 4-5 was just shambles.
Yeah, it was. It's hard to put into words, really, because the first 15 minutes went exactly to script. Moved 2-0 up, pretty comfortable. And I know Ipswich, I think before we played them, had lost one game in 25 games, I saw.
But they're this used was to an winning, Ipswich, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but it's an Ipswich second string, and you know Lee Evans was captain, and it wasn't the team that had been pulling up trees in the Championship this season, put it like that. And 2-0 up, I thought we'd have quite a comfortable evening. As soon as that first goal went in, the confidence just completely seeped out of the team, and Ipswich are well deserved to go through. Played us off the park, won the midfield battles. It's really hard to say these words after what we saw on Saturday, but it seemed like the team on the 11 on the pitch and the subs that come on lacked any sort of desire, grit, determination to even want to get back in the tie and win the game. And it was real doom and gloom. I mean, we did a Twitter space, and it was, I don't think there was one positive thing said. For about 45 minutes, so it says where we were with it. And yeah, look, it's really disappointing to go out of the cup, because we know where we are in the league at the moment. We know probably it's not going to be that fruitful of the Premier League campaign for us, and the cup is that little bit of hope to have a bit of string some wins together and have a good run. But yeah, look, we're out, and it is what it is. You've got to take it on the chin, but we just weren't good enough on the night.
A lot of questions, Dave, around Gary O'Neill. A lot of people at the time calling for his head, saying that no, he needs to go already. I don't know. It seems a little bit strange now, knowing that we've just come off the back of a win against Man City. But in that moment, Dave, I think fans were right to point the finger, because it just was awful. But I'll caveat that with the fact that you look at all the goals we conceded, Dave. Don't think that was really Gary O'Neill's fault. There were so many like individual errors. I know the first goal, Bueno was on his heels. The second goal, you've got Doc and Johnny playing them on sides, so they're with their hands in the air. And the third goal, I think Bentley should save it, to be honest. But, you know, he can't catch a bite, really, can he, Gary O'Neill, at the minute?
No, I you know, it's good to look at it in hindsight now after Saturday's win. But that was the first time I'd been, you know, on Twitter and on the video. I was very vocal about how disappointed I was, because I think, especially from 2-0 up and chucking the game away, of course, there can be individual errors. But I think especially after the first goal, it's up to the head coach or the manager to sort the team out and make sure you don't concede another goal before half time and you can see out the rest of the win. So that was the first time, and I thought, you know, it added a lot of pressure on him. I think regardless of the result Saturday, I don't think it would have added much more pressure unless we got absolutely demolished on Saturday, which didn't happen. But I've said, you know, it's still very early. And I think once things have calmed down, I sort of sat back and had a bit more of a sensible, you know, thought in my head about it. You know, yes, there have been a lot of individual errors that have gone against him. And I said it many times, the sort of fine margins that we've had from the start of the season, I'll mention it for the first time today, the Manchester United game, all the way up to now, the fine margins. And for one reason or another, Gary O'Neill keeps being on the wrong side of them. And then it came to Saturday, and thankfully, we had one or two moments of fortune that fell for us for the first time this season. So he has been unfortunate as a manager. And I know we'll talk more about the City game, but I think as of today, on paper, ignoring the cup, Wolves, points-wise, are where you would have expected Wolves to be at this point in the season.
He was actually on TalkSport this morning. He was, I don't know if you boys managed to catch it, but he'd said how hard the players have been working, and at the minute it's about trying to get those points on the board and almost like change the way that they think and the process, and then try and sculpt it to how he would want it to look. He said it's very much a work in progress, but you know, he said survival isn't the goal, but let's just try and get to that point first, and then we can try and make it a bit prettier to look at, which I think is a fairly sensible approach. But Pablo Sarabia in this game, Jordan, out from the cold, got a start, but he looks... I know you and I like him, but mostly in those tight spaces in the number 10 position, but, mate, he's struggling big time.
Yeah, it's just not going to work out for him, is it? I don't think. Like the longer it goes on, and my opinion hasn't changed on him about him being a very technically good footballer, gifted footballer, but the physicality is lacking for English football. He hasn't got that sort of yard of pace, and like you don't have to be electric. You know, I've likened him a few times like a Wan Mata type player, Santi Cazorla, very very technically gifted. It weren't exactly the quickest of folks. But Sarabia's not even doing that now, is he? He just looks bereft of confidence. He's in and out of the team. And I think he's a player that does need some rhythm. But you're not going to get rhythm or get any sort of minutes or game time when you do get your chance. You play and perform like that because you're so ineffective. And he can't have much complaints, really, for me. Like, I know he come off and he was huffing and puffing. And like, it looks like he made a gesture to say, like, one game, give me one game or whatever. But just... so ineffective, and he's only got himself to blame from his performance on Tuesday night. I do feel for him to come and keep coming out of the cold and trying to make a performance, but when you get your chance, you've got to do more than that to take it. And there just wasn't none of that.
He's so. Definitely not suited to being out wide, is he, Dave? He just hasn't got the explosiveness to go past players. Not in English football, anyway. He's just not suited to that position.
No, it'll be interesting to see if he gets opportunities and if Wolves stick with his back five now, because I think in terms of, you know, with that system, I don't think you'd play him as a winger, but Wolves could easily sort of revert to him almost a 5-2-1-2, which we did see every now and then under Nuno, and have him, you know, as the number 10. But unfortunately, I know he's not been given a huge amount of chances, but he hasn't really taken them enough. You know, his best game in a Wolves shirt was against a team in League One. And you know, I really want it to work. I really do. He's obviously a very talented footballer. He ripped the Portuguese league apart a couple of years ago. And you know, we've seen with other players have settled down in England now and really kicked on. For him, for one reason or another, it's just not happening. So I can't, you know, if the situation's the same going into January, I think he'll be gone come January, to be fair.
Yeah, I think he will be as well. But I'm not sure what the one gesture was to Gary O'Neill, Joel, whether he was saying like one game. No one seems to know, do they?
No, well.
He didn't look very happy, though.
No, he didn't, but nor did Sasa either, did he? But again, I'd say like, I don't really think Sasa did a lot either, did he? To be honest with you, to warrant him.
First 10 minutes, he was really good, but then he just faded. But the problem is with Sasa, you only really play one way, don't you? And it's pretty clear that Gary O'Neill doesn't want to play that way. So you're asking him to come deep and, all right, he's not too bad if he's back to goal, but ideally you want him in the box, don't you? You want him knockdowns, but we don't play that way. Lopetegui has played that way, and Lars has played that way, but it doesn't seem like he really fancies him.
It won't work, I don't think, especially if we're going with the five at the back from now on, which I'm sure we'll have a conversation about. I can't see him getting much game time.
Oh, we can't. Because
you need, if we play in that style, you need someone that's very direct and can run. Like, even Raul had a bit of height to him, but on the ball, he wasn't super quick, but he had a bit of pace to him and he could drive forward with the ball. Whereas Sasha, I just don't think has that to his game. Yeah, coming on for the last few minutes of the match when we're going for something, possibly. But it's old school football, isn't it? It's almost, for him, you're looking at a very direct and route one style of play. And I just don't, unfortunately for Sasha, that's not the way Wolves are going at the moment. That might be a bit disrespectful to me in regards to him as a footballer, because I don't think he is just a target man. I think he's a good player. But it looks like there's a bit of friction between him and O'Neill anyway. And again, that one going into January, it'd be interesting to see what the situation is with him.
Other teams bid for him, didn't they? Or inquired about him in the summer. So was it Fulham?
AC Milan, apparently.
AC Milan.
I think abroad, mate, having an option of a 6'7" striker, he's not crap.
He's a good player.
Having that option for some teams, it's like mouth-watering, really. So you'll get a bit of money for him.
And we'd rather be on the bench at Wolves or sat on the bench at AC Milan. It's pretty clear way. But I do feel for him, but I feel like he's just getting a bit too emotional with it all. He just bides your time. He seems like quite an emotional bloke, but when we're playing like we did on Saturday, you need real dynamism in that front three, and that's just not something he offers. Like, you're not going to be very good on the break. It took Gary O'Neill to find a solution for him. But Dave, you've mentioned about wanting a cup run this season. Looks like, and to be fair, for a lot of those players who started, they probably won't be playing now until January.
Yeah, and that's why I think, in one way, it's not a blessing in disguise, really. But I think, you know, bar Hwang, who obviously has been a quite regular starter anyway, not one of those players last week did enough to impress me, and did enough obviously for Gary O'Neill to make sure they were in the team on Saturday in City. I think Boubacar had some good spells, but Tommy Doyle was a little bit quiet. I think Totti and Santi weren't great. I thought Totti's distribution on Tuesday was quite poor. And obviously Bentley as well, you know, and I know it's been said on this podcast to earlier this season to possibly give Bentley a go, but he had a really, really poor performance. And I know, like you said, it could be rusty, it could be nervous, but you get one out your system, one goal, you get out your system. But he did it three times, and that's just not good enough.
No. Jord, before we go on to the City game, I feel like you might need to issue an apology for Wang Ki-chan.
So do I.
I was the only one, I think, who said he was all right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You pair wrote him off.
I said I'd sell him.
The apology should be as loud as a disrespect.
I still don't think
he's played very well, if I'm totally honest. So it's just a goal scorer.
I absolutely apologise. I don't actually apologise for his first touch, because I still think that comment stands. But he's the only bloke we've got who puts the ball in the back of the net, and you're confident when he's in front of goal. And I apologise. To
absolutely nobody.
I said in the summer, like when we did the buy-sell, I was like, buy, because I thought since the World Cup last year, I said when he come back, he was really good for us the back end of last season, bar his injuries when he played. And then you can't fault him this year. Like, he's already beat his tally for last season's goals, hasn't he?
One goal behind our top scorer from last season as well already.
There you go. So I just think, look, like, He's proving a lot of and shutting a lot of people up who really don't rate him as a footballer. I've never really doubted his ability when it's instinctive with Hwang. There's no one better, I don't think, at the club. When he thinks about it and he's got it like head up, I don't trust him. But look, he's had a phenomenal start to the season, and hopefully the rate he's going, he'll break 15 goals, which will be, we'll get a fucking nosebleed if someone gets 15 goals for Wolves.
I don't think our goal scoring this season has been spoken about or praised enough yet. Like, we could still score more. We've had more chances. But bar the United game, we've scored in every single game so far this season, cup included. you know, and it's not like we're just scoring one, you know, scored twice already a number of times this season. Obviously slapped five past Blackpool as well. You know, we started to score goals. If we can tighten up defensively as well, I think goal scoring, you know, could still be better and could probably still get a proper number nine in. But I think Gary O'Neill and obviously Lopetegui would have worked on that a lot in the summer, but deserve praise for that as well.
I think with the wide players, though, we'll probably see Bellegarde slot in there rather than in midfield with the emergence of Boubacar Traoré, who did well against Ipswich, actually, and then came on against City and did well. But, Jordan, if the four goals that he's got in the Premier League this season, anything to go by, that if he carries on the same run rate, Hwang will get 22 Premier League goals this season.
If he gets 22 goals a season, I'll get tattooed on me. There we go. I know we said about the Tommy Doyle and all this sort of stuff. But if Hwang gets 22 goals, I think we'll all get a tattoo, let alone just me, to be honest.
I think the Bellegarde one's probably the most likely of those to come in, because mine hasn't come in at all because he didn't sign. Tommy Doyle signed and Bellegarde signed.
I had Ian Nacho.
Jordan had five Tommy Doyle goals outside the box.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to get many starts after Saturday or, you know, as well, but we'll see.
Yeah. Are you happy to move on to what is an absolutely tremendous result? Dave, Wolves 2, Manchester City 1. Back to the trusty back five. We all said it would happen. George, Dave, you all said it too. And, you know, credit to Gary O'Neill, Dave, because tactically it was absolutely inch perfect.
Yeah, he made me eat my words a lot on Saturday.
Sounds
evening,
like you're still eating them.
Yeah. no, absolutely bang on. Just the game management overall was phenomenal. And you know what? Yeah, I think under Nuno, you know, he was desperate to change from it after that final season, you know, and it was a long, you know, season. And we've had that break, and I would not be against keeping this because I think we can adapt that. And if Gary O'Neill's happy to adapt it for per opponents, there's still some of those players that were at the club before, you know, Kilman, who can manage that defence. Doc has obviously come back. Neto would have played in that system before as well. So I'm not against it. And it's almost ingrained into this club's DNA now, a five at the back. So bring it back. And if it's going to bring better performances like that and great results, then yeah, so be it.
Jordan, I think you will tweak it according to the opponent. Now, I know they did it at Bournemouth, but you don't want to see five at the back at home against Luton, do you?
To be honest with you, if it's going to win us a football game, I don't mind it.
And to be fair, Luton's probably the opposition where you do, because how stretched they make you. But
yeah, it's one of those things. I think, again, I want to give him massive credit, because I think the one thing I critiqued him on, and I wasn't one of these people that was like saying he should be gone or anything like that, because it was just way too premature, but his in-game management for me had been quite poor. I think he'd only made one positive sub, which had actually worked for him when he brought Clarges on at Everton. I think everything else, you could argue that his subs haven't been really impacting games in a positive manner. He might have looked out a little bit from just the fact of suspensions, etc., that he went to a back five, but to a man, he couldn't fault a single person associated with the team on Saturday. I think the manager got his tactics spot on. I think his substitutions were spot on. The space in between the players was great. I thought Dawson's job on Haaland was very old-fashioned, but also one of the best jobs you'll see of anyone mark Erling Haaland out of a game. Like, stuck like skin tight to him, hugged him, kicked him, pinched him, whatever, just put him off his game completely. And I think that's probably the only time, I can't remember a game watching Erling Haaland in a Man City shirt where he hasn't even had a half a chance. He didn't even have half a sniff, did he? And that's credit to the whole team, but especially Craig Dawson. I thought he kept him so, so quiet. And yeah, an unbelievable performance and an unbelievable 3 points.
The performance was fantastic. Each player to a T, nailed down the role. But it's interesting, Dave. It's that back five, it makes us so much more, and I know it's stating the obvious, but like defensively sound. City will look for those gaps, won't they, in those pockets. And there was literally no gaps. I'll try and move you side to side to side to side to try and find some gaps. But every time those gaps were closed, and even the likes of Aitnuri and Semedo, I thought were unbelievable. I know Semedo's had a lot of credit, but I thought Aitnuri was immense. But even against Doku, Dave, the fact that there were, as soon as Doku got the ball, there was two or three around him. And I don't think he beat him once, did he? Or even get a ball in the box?
Yeah, I think the only time that they managed to find that pass was when it was played into Nunes and he put it on a plate for Haaland, and Dawson made that great challenge. That was the only time they were able to get him behind. But that's what Wolves made it so difficult. The spaces were so tight, they weren't able to get him behind at all. I actually thought Doku looked all right for City. I think his ball retention was good. Well, he got a lot of stick off City fans I saw on social media. But Semedo was phenomenal. Aitnuri, like you said, I was worried when he got subbed off. Because we were 2-1 up, or possibly even at 1-1 still at that time. And when he was getting subbed off, I thought, oh no, because it's happened twice before, I think, where he's been subbed off, both against Liverpool, and we've chucked the game away. But obviously we managed to hold on. But just every single player did their job. I thought everyone was phenomenal. Kilman looked much better. I think on the right of a back three, you know, he was able to drive forward a little bit whilst having the cover behind him. Totti, I was a bit dubious about starting after Tuesday performance, but I think he did his job exactly. You know, he didn't get tested a huge amount, but I think he did what he had to do. And Saar, when called upon, you know, did what he needed to do. I felt, maybe being harsh, he could have done a tad better with a free kick, but I think it's a, you know, pinpoint finish, to be honest. But even the front three just ran Manchester City ragging. And Pedro Neto, he's on the form of his life at the moment. And if we can keep him past January, you know, he'll be huge, huge reason. And again, you're talking about Hwang's goal numbers. I think if Neto carries on, what, has he got 5 or 6 goal contributions already? You know, mm-hmm. he could get like 25, 30. So, you know, just absolutely phenomenal start to the season for him.
They're going to be dips in form, though, aren't they? And there's going to be fitness as well, because those two notoriously can't keep fit. But let's talk about that front three, Jord. Neto, Hwang and Cunha. Cunha almost dropping into that number 10 position. So Neto and Cunha can almost... Neto and Hwang could bomb forward. But they worked their socks off. But there was some real quality between the three of them. And although we had one shot on target and we scored from it, they looked a threat every single time they went forward.
Yeah, and I think it's not one of the... I think, and again, it sounds daft looking at the stats. I've had, like, people at work talking to me today and, you know, mates who are, like, Albion Villa fans, whatever. Like, genuinely, I don't feel like we got lucky or fortunate with the result. I thought, you know, we kept them to very little. Yeah, we kept them to very little. Every time we broke on them, we caused them so many problems. I thought... I mean, you know, Man City are the best team in the world. There's no debating or doubting that, you know, and I still wouldn't say that after Saturday. Like, but Nathan Aké looked absolutely shit scared every time Neto got the ball. And, like, he's a very competent, fully-fledged international footballer. Neto and Ragged. I think the dynamism of those three and in how they link up and play and the pace and stuff, like, I was dead against going to a back five, and I thought, like, Nuno sort of bored me stiffless with it by the end of it all. And it was all about, I don't mind what formations you play, it's all about if you're playing aggressive and it's not pragmatic in the way you go about it, you can play whatever formation you want. The way we played it on Saturday is perfect. You set traps and you spring on them. It's what we did against Liverpool in the first half when they just stopped playing. I love that football. Like that for me, that plays to our strengths. We haven't got it doesn't really suit Lamina and Gomez to be playing in like a midfield game where we're trying to dominate possession, dominate the ball. The more for me, shuttlers rather than actually ball playing midfielders. So for me, let's get the best out of what we've got. You can always want to, you know, if Gary O'Neill wants to expand and play his style of football 6-12 months down the line, great. But just play with the strengths you've got at the moment. And, you know, that is sitting 10-15 yards deeper back. That is harassing, scuttling for the balls. But just break with pace, and it suits everyone in the squad.
Most low blocks, though, you'll just sit back and just wait, force the ball out wide and try and let them put the ball in the box. But even in front of goal, in certain areas, Dave, the players are so aggressive in trying to win the ball back. And, you know, the free kick led to that, which I think is a free kick, to be honest. I think it's a silly foul from Jao Gomez to make, but it was so aggressive and front foot. And I've seen City fans saying Hwang shouldn't be on the pitch, but if that's what we're going to go by, then neither should Nathan Aké. But as George just said, Dave, Nathan Akio, I thought before this game was quite quick and he may be, but Neto absolutely tore him to pieces. It's so important to keep Neto fit because what a player he has been this season.
Yeah, for the first goal, the pace and aggression and determination he showed was
and strength because the Aki just tries to.
Is as well. Phil Foden was on him. He had the two of them initially. Yeah. And I thought Phil Foden was awful on Saturday, and I know players are going to try and stop getting these cheap bookings now. But for me, if I would be very upset if two Wolves defenders were on a player and let him run past it as he did. But it's still a phenomenal run and obviously deserved, we got, again, what was talked about earlier, the fortune. He completely deserved it for that run alone. But then there was one in the second half where he's 5 or 10 yards behind Ake and does him for pace as well. But yeah, going back to the free kick, I think Cunha should have had the free kick the other side of the pitch and then they got the ball and that's what won them the free kick as well.
Is that one where a Kanji come across?
Yeah, there's about four of them around it, weren't there? So
I don't know. Free kick. I've watched it back. Yeah. He looks like he's falls over, to be honest.
Well, that's what I mean. But like City fans, that's all they keep pinpointing. But like you said, yeah, there were 3, 4, 5 moments where City got away with things. So on the balance of the game, it sort of balanced itself out in the end. And I felt, City, yes, had a lot of the ball. But in terms of going into the game, Gary O'Neill obviously had a game plan. This is how we want to play. And it went to absolute perfection. The only thing I'd be cautious of, I think it worked well because City play so high. Yeah. If you are going to, it'll be very interesting to see how we play. I'm not sure how Villa play, if they will play as aggressive and as high as that away from home as well. But sort of going after the international break when we play the likes of Bournemouth and Fulham and stuff like that, how that sort of system will play out and how we adopt that formation to play against those other sides.
Yeah, it'll have to change. It'll have to find a way. On TalkSport, he said he tried to do the same with Bournemouth last year, but the outside centre-half were a little too aggressive and that left space in behind. But I was reading a tactical report of the game this morning. And it said, Wolves' shape was absolutely phenomenal. Even a backwards pass for City was difficult because they couldn't pass to the two number eights. So it had to go back to Diaz just because of the way that Wolves had set up, which obviously scuppers the build-up play. I think Rodri helps with that. Obviously, De Bruyne would help. It's an unbelievable result, Joel. But we've been asking for a bit of decisiveness, composure, take your chances when you come and I think that second goal is a perfect example of that. Cool, calm and collected. Intelligent play by Cunha. And Huang gets his 4th, 5th of the season. That'll be a 5 out of 22 for the season.
Yeah, I think a lot of credit's got to go to Cunha for
it all. He was outstanding that game.
Yeah, but I mean, even for that moment, I mean, how many people had swing the left booted it, and just try and get it on goal? And he might have scored. But the fact that he just had the composure to pass it, a 4 or 5 yard pass, it took Edison out of the game and two defenders for Huang just to, put it in the back of the net. And it's so underrated what he did. I think in the moment of it all, you're thinking, wow, okay, how's that happened? I was in the North Bank and you couldn't really see, but I watched the extended highlights back as well. And it's so clever. And again, another thing I didn't realise is Kyle Walker does unbelievable, doesn't he?
He nearly hit the line, didn't he?
Again, from where I was, it looked like he saved it. I was shouting for a penalty. I thought, fucking send him off. But he's actually dead. I couldn't believe it.
I thought he handled it as well.
Yeah. He almost did it. But looked like, it's great. It's a great, great goal. Decisive, on the break. Killer instinct.
That run from Semedo as well.
Kilman's ball into space. Semedo run. Yeah,
Tomato's cross is pretty shit.
That's what I was talking about with the fortune as well, because his cross took that just minor deflection. And I thought that deflection helped go right into that corridor where it fell straight to Wolves. And that's why the two instances there that have ultimately won us the game. And that's two pieces of luck that we've not had all season. So
Can I say as well a thing before we move on it as well? I think a big factor of Saturday as well was the atmosphere at Molineux, because
we haven't even spoken about it.
Been so dead at Molineux for years, and just that little bit of hyperbole, that little bit of nastiness. Like I'm saying to people, I've never heard Molineux that vile. Like even when Gibbs White came back last year, it was nothing compared to what he got on Saturday.
Yeah, and Gibbs White isn't the same kind of.
I think it'll be like that though. It could be like that.
It will be like
that. After the Carabao Cup quarter final, it will be. It needs to be. But Nunez, I'm telling you now, he weren't injured to fucking. He'd come on the end of the pitch hobbling like he was holding his calf and whatever. He jacked it. He absolutely jacked it. He jacked it. He didn't want to know. He didn't want to know. No.
Do you reckon Pep
like, went further and further left? And then he was out the game. He didn't want to know anything. It was vile.
Bar when he got in behind, and I think he had the one headed, didn't he? Which was pretty poor. Yeah. But everything, he was just like, he kept going backwards. He just didn't want to, because he knew he would get pelted. And I do wonder, I know Pep said it was tactical or he may have had a knock. But I've got a feeling that the amount of negativity, it was just putting City off their game. And I thought, he probably thought, if this happens for another 15, 20 minutes, it just ain't. We've got a player that's whose head is not in the game at the moment. But that was I knew it was going to get steep, but I didn't think it was going to be as good as that. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. At the end of the game and stuff. Even like at the end of the game, like Nunez, what's the score? Like the sound of it, like it was comparable to like for me, it was like the Man United quarterfinal. Like the sound, like all four stands.
The booing was amazing. The highlights. So you watch that. Oh my god! It's like silent, and then it goes. The booze you hear is fucking amazing, man. Honestly, it's so good.
I said on the last podcast, so I said this will galvanise Molineux. It'll be as loud as you've heard it, just because it was like old Wolves back, just like shit house, horrible bastards. And it worked. And you know, Nunez is quite he's a big baby, as we've said on this podcast. You knew it would get in his head, and yeah, like you said, Jordy, come back on the pitch hobbling. But Pep said it's a tactical change. You wanted someone with a little bit more creativity in those smaller spaces. So, yeah, it was a good moment.
The City fans as well. I know they don't lose a lot of games. So obviously, when they do, there's obviously going to be a bit of a reaction. But some of them were so salty. Even at it was brilliant at the ground because right at the start there was these lads giving it the big in about the money, like you know, showing off. And after the second goal went in, they did not look once towards the Wolves fans. Hood up as well. And that was it. And a couple of them at the end of the game applauding us. Oh, God, I'll do one. So, but yeah, it was the atmosphere was great. Really, really good. Really good.
Yeah. We need to try and replicate that if we can.
Well, against Villa, it's going to, you know, it's going to happen.
Surely. We need Dendonka on the pitch for 90 minutes and just give him that same
hard goal. We want Dendonka on the pitch for 90 minutes, we'll win the game. quickly, referee rating from Saturday. Craig Pawson.
Yeah, he was useless. Poor, I thought.
Yeah.
I'd go with a 5, and that's being fair, I think.
Yeah, not great. Not great. I've said, I think the officials are absolutely embarrassing. And it only highlighted it with the Liverpool Spurs thing, the debacle of all that as well. Like they're absolutely pathetic. Honest to God, they all want the sack. Like it was a time where Craig Pawson he booked who kicked the ball away for Wolves in the first half. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a yellow card. Lamina kicked the ball about 5-7 yards away. And in the second half, Man City player just, I think it might have been Docky, you know, just kicked the ball about 4 yards.
Yellow.
Like everyone just started shouting, book him, book him. And he got his card out. It's like you're listening to, like, let the fans like influence it. It's like you got to be strong and confident enough in your own ability to do what you want to do and make your own decisions. But I just felt it was easily influenced. The Ake elbow, I mean, it looked like a collision to me in real time where I was sitting. But it's not great, you know, when you slow it down, the elbow. I don't think he's tried to do a Neto with that. People say it's a red card. I think it's a natural movement.
But 2 minutes before that, he'd done Kilman. That should have been that should have been a booking anyway. Like, that was a bad tackle.
I think that was after, wasn't it?
No, it was 2 minutes before, and then the Neto one was after. I think. They were very close together anyway. I think the Kilman was before though.
And also,
that's why I couldn't believe he avoided it for both.
The rule of surrounding the referee doesn't apply to other teams as well.
Well, Neto got a yellow, didn't he, when he ran up to him before Alvarez's goal? Because he ran over and, like, what the hell? But in the first half, I mean, he had 5 or 6 around him when Walker went down after Huang kicked him, didn't he? And like, well, where's the yellow? Where's the consistency again?
Yeah,
I agree.
You're going to make mistakes. I mean, the Liverpool one is just unfathomable. Quite a funny mind. but, you think that's... No one else has ever had any decisions go against them, but we move at Wolves Villa on Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff. Dave, I was if you'd have asked me this in the week, I would have been shitting myself at this game. But isn't it amazing what a win against the European champions can do for your confidence? I know we've got quite a good record against the Villa at home and even away. But are you sticking with a 5 for this?
I think so. I think you'd be daft to change it. I think that they played so well. You know, they've got to stick with it. Be interesting. I think it does obviously depend. Villa are on good form. They've been brilliant under Emery. But they're just, we do get good results against them. What we got, we got 4 points off them last year. Do really well against them at Molineux. So, you know, I'm leaning towards a Wolves win, but it won't be easy. But I'll back us to get a 2-1 win, but it's going to be tough. You know, they smashed, although the XG wasn't great for them, they still, you know, played Brighton off the park. You know, they smashed Brighton there on Saturday, whenever it was. So they'll be on top form as well. But they're in Europe this week, so it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they're jaded or whatever.
Yeah. Jord, stick with a 5.
I just don't think you change a winning team, do you? Especially against the opponent you've won against as well. I think stick with a 5. I don't think Bellegarde's back, is he?
Because he's it's his last game, I think.
So I think you just go with the same again. You probably bring Tommy Doyle back in for Hodge when it comes to your subs. And then just go again. Look, you've got to respect Villa. Annoyingly, they're a good team at the moment. I think they've bought well. I don't think they're that great at the back, you know, though. I don't think this Pau Torres is very good. I don't necessarily think they're the best. I think they're getting more credit than what they're actually good for, but I do like Moussa Diaby. Ollie Watkins has started scoring now, took him out of a fantasy team, which is typical. So I might bring him back in. So I guarantee he won't score on Sunday if I do that. But no, look, we've got a good record against them, and I think we've got to respect them for what they are. But I think, you know, we've got nothing to fear. We've got nothing to fear with them. I think let's just see how it goes, and we always get a result against them. That's what I'll say. We tend to get a result, even when the odds are against us. Like Villa just don't beat us at Molineux, it seems. So that might get clipped on Sunday, but yeah, they don't tend to beat us at Molineux. So. Yeah, and the fact they're in Europe on Thursday, I think Emery messed up the first game against Warsaw. They lost it. So I reckon they'll have to go quite strong on Thursday to make sure that they don't basically like get themselves in a tricky position in the group. So that might play into our favour as well. But yeah, look, play with the same game plan, same tenacity as Man City. There's no reason why we won't come out with a positive outcome.
Dave, very, very high line Villa play. Perfect for our front three.
Perfect, I think. If they play a similar high line to how City did, I think could be for an interesting one. I don't think their defenders will be as quick as the City defenders as well. So I don't know what is their back line now. I genuinely haven't watched much of it.
Matty Cash, Pau Torres, Ezri Konsa, and Luka Dean. By the way, Luka Dean, fantastic delivery, everything else. He's gashed. Yeah,
Cash has been okay, but yeah, and I think you'd probably start Neto on that right hand side again. So Neto versus Dean will be a nice little battle.
Yep. Score prediction, Dave.
2-1 to the Wanderers.
Jord.
I'll go for a Desmond.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll take a point as well. I know that's probably a bit weak, but I don't think a point's a bad result.
Going back quickly to what I said at the start, like in terms of right now, points-wise, is probably where you'd expect us to be, because you would have probably expected us to lose to City. So if you put the 4 points we got over the last couple of weeks, you put the point to the Palace game maybe and the 3 points from City to the Luton game, it's about where you'd expect to be fair.
Yeah. I think you need to be winning your home game, so I'm gonna say we need to win. I'm gonna go 3-1 Wolves. 3-1 Wolves.
Nice.
Question time. Nigel John Ross has asked, why isn't Sasa getting more game time? Do you think O'Neill doesn't run him? I know we touched on this earlier a little bit, Dave, but why do you think it is? Do you think it could be fitness? Do you think it because he doesn't fit in? Does he think they've had a bust up, which everyone seems to think that's happened?
Right. Nigel John Ross, never trust a man with 3 first names.
No. You should never trust a man with 3 first names. No, I'm like Jordan Russell.
I don't know. We sort of alluded to it earlier, didn't we? I think just in terms of game plan and style at the moment. Unfortunately, I just don't think he fits in. I don't think he's 100% fit, but obviously the sharpness and stuff comes with game time. So, and is he a bit of a risk to be playing him in 21s games and stuff like that, you know? So, I don't know. I just don't think he's suiting how Wolves play at the moment. So, it's just one of those.
George?
Don't know. Like, it just doesn't fancy him, does he? I've said this the last few weeks. I just don't think he fancies him. Like, in terms of actually trusting him to play the way he wants to play. If we're 1-0 down or we need a goal later on, you might see him chuck him on as a plan B sort of thing. But I don't think you'll see him start in many Premier League games.
No, I agree. He's not going to be very happy with that, though, is he?
No, but he's had a nice documentary about him. A nice three-parter.
Not playing in the Premier League, but you're playing in the Premier League too. Welcome to the 21.
None all is lost. You got a little Netflix. Well, yeah.
Welcome to Agbra, buddy.
Given Space has asked, why does it appear that Neto was telling the fans to calm down after his goal? I wondered that. Dave, do you think it's just saying, like, calm down, we've got, like, 80 minutes to play City?
I don't know, or like, calm down. This is me we're talking about. It's Pedro Neto. It's the Pedro Neto show. I don't know.
Look how big more Corey is.
Yeah. It fits in this pint glass. No. I
don't... and loops back round.
I don't know what he was saying, or, you know, but who used to do that? Like, Ronaldo loved that one, didn't he?
It's like, yeah, it didn't look like that, though. It looked almost calm.
Yeah.
He probably was that. He probably knew there was a long time to go. But whenever you go 1-0 up against City, of course, you're going to celebrate. So, unless you're being respectful for Diaz for putting it in the back of his knee, I don't know. But you're still going to celebrate, aren't you?
Nah.
Yeah. Jord?
I reckon he had Man City 3-1 on his Super 6. And he was just saying, look, don't get too excited, lads. You know how the story goes. But, probably what I think it was. I think it was more so. He's quite, and I mean this because you've got to be this to be a top player. That bit of arrogance, I think he was just being a bit arrogant. It's like, you know, calm down. I'll do this. I'll do this every time I get the ball. Don't worry about it. I'll do this every week. Maybe we'll have to ask him. I don't know.
David Hopp has asked, is that the best display you've ever seen from a fullback from Wolves when it comes to Semedo on Saturday?
It's up there. It's hard to say, like, pinpoint, you know, how. You know, Jordan will know back sort of at Derek Dugan days.
Hello, Wolves.
I thought it was good. It was very, very good. You know, not many pop up to mind. But yeah, it was a very good performance.
Jord?
Yeah.
Is that the best?
I think defensively, you know, you'd have to, recent history, defensively, you'd have to agree, wouldn't you? I think, you know, he really did shut Doku up a little bit. I thought Doku was lively for the night. I saw Man City fans have a go at him. I just thought Semedo just played him extremely well. I don't think it was that Doku was poor. But, you know, I remember Lee Naylor scoring against Reading in the Championship playoff semi-final. That was a great performance. So, you know, if you want to go back to 2003 or whatever, or even further back, you know, we can go further back. But, no, definitely up there in recent memory, for sure.
I've got a couple more questions from Twitter. So, Amar's Music Show, he's getting a question read out again. I know someone moaned last week. He does also identify as a male as well, and confirmed on Twitter. Who's the nicest Wolves player you've had an interaction with, past or present, and what was that interaction?
Mine was, so I bumped into Marcus Hanneman after we beat Spurs 1-0 away. So we'd gone down to Spurs. We'd beaten 1-0. Kevin Doyle scored after 2 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, the header. Very
early. And Hanneman was unbelievable.
Hey man.
And we were going to Strictly Liquor on the Penn Road because we were going to Blast Off, and went in there. Gosh. And Marcus Hanneman was in there with his Wolves stuff on, and was like, oh, like, you know, just say, oh, well played today. I've been down to the game, and I'm not going to even butcher an American accent. He's, oh, thanks, lads. You know, he's buying like 3 bottles of the top shelf whiskey. Because he was having a few of the players back, he was like, he had photos with him. Like, he was really sound, like really, really sound. So that's probably my best interaction I think we've had with a Wolves player.
I don't know, mine. Maybe, you know what came up on my memories the other day, because obviously Raul scored at Southampton, didn't he, a few years ago, or a couple of years ago, and I saw him the day before in Sainsbury's. we're all still masked up. I said, Raul can have a selfie. And he's like, yeah. And, you know, he scored the next day. But I don't know, I see a lot of the players. I don't interact with them much, though, to be fair.
They're probably too scared to interact with me. Yeah.
That's your future. Oh, no, Totti was sound when I went to Fiume. You had Totti and Chiquinho there. And Totti was, yeah, proper sound. So, yeah, probably Totti.
What was he saying?
Because my mom was like, I was obviously with my parents, and she was being so embarrassed. She was like, he runs a YouTube channel. He runs a and, you know, one of them. And then he goes, yeah. To be fair, though, he goes, and I'm not making this. He goes, oh, yeah, I know, I've seen him. So my mom keeps telling everyone he watches fucking Talking Wolves. When he obviously doesn't, he's probably just seen our face pop up somewhere.
Probably saying he was fucking shit at the weekend. Yeah. I've seen him. I'm going to fucking pick him outside now.
So, yeah, probably Totti, actually. He's proper sound.
Mine is either Adama, where at the end of season dinner awards, had time for absolutely everyone. And he was just a really nice person. And I said I was quicker than him over 35 yards, and I'd go and see him in the car park. And he went, like, really? And I went, yeah. And he grabbed my arm and went, right, come on, then we go in. And, like, obviously, we didn't go any further, but we had a good laugh about it. And then Cody for me. At the same event again, asked him for a picture. I had loads of time. I was going out with someone at the time who was from where he's from, in St. Helens. And I said, and he went, oh, it's a posh area, that is. You need to keep her. She sounds like a good girlfriend. And like 4 weeks later, she finished me. So, thanks, Connor. Connor. It was a really good laugh. Good value as well, and surprisingly very, very funny. A couple more questions, if you just bear with me. Adrian has asked, Missy's got me Wolves car mats for my birthday present. What was the dullest present you've ever received?
A Wolves present or generally a present?
I'm not good at opening presents. I don't know about you guys, but I just don't like.
It must have been, this was years ago. My nan used to, like, one of my nans I very rarely saw. So she must have gone, you know, when you go, I don't even know what shop she would have got it from, but places where I do 3 for 2 and just buy any old shit. The one year I got, like,
Techno Fireplace.
you got this thing, and it must have, it was like a chair that plugged into your car, and you'd have it on the back of your car seat, and it would heat up as if I ain't got fucking heaters in the car and stuff. So I was there, like, I think, genuinely, I've had about 7, 8 years, and it's still in my room, in the wrapping. So that's got to be up there, I think. Yeah. What the fuck am I using it for? So.
Jord?
I'm trying to think, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, come back to me.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm quite grateful for everything anybody gets me. I'd feel bad to say, like, something was shit.
I got another one. My granddad, a few years ago, he's notorious. He gets nice gifts. Like, if he buys you an aftershave set, he'll buy nice stuff. But then he all of a sudden, a couple of years ago, started adding, like, a bar of chocolate, but it was Jim Beam. You know, Jim Beam, the whiskey or whatever it is, flavoured. Yeah. And, like, everyone was eating it. It was horrific. So we started doing, like, dares to each other. Right? Eat a Jim Beam chocolate with, like, a cracker or something. But then the year after, it was a bar of chocolate again. We were like, oh, here we go, Beam Jean. Nah, it was chocolate Cavossier. So what is going on here?
Where's he getting these from?
Fuck knows. It was horrific, mate. Honest, they've probably still got a bar somewhere. It's horrible. So, cheers, Grandad. Avid listener.
I'm just having a look at Jim Beam chocolate.
Mate, it's like a white and black wrapper, I think, like box. It's genuinely not.
Oh, my God, it looks horrific.
It tastes, I can't imagine the taste.
Yeah, that's it. The top, it just comes up on Amazon there, limited edition, currently unavailable.
Yeah, limited edition, shit.
Your dad bought the rest of the stock. If your granddad's listening to this, he's thinking, I'm going to have to get him something else this year.
You remember them bobble hats, like, about 15 years ago? Remember the Dappy on NWs?
You get him
from Wolverhampton Town Centre for about £3. And my granddad brought me one of them before. I was like, oh, fucking sound. You know, you broke the bank this Christmas, granddad. You know. Sounds really ungrateful, though, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean,
that wasn't the only thing you got me, by the way.
I'm happy with like Adidas Activewear deodorant shower gel kit. No, but when you get older, like,
and that's what you sort of be fair.
When I open a pack of Under Armour socks, I'm buzzing. Yeah. Like, because you need those things, don't you? But when you're a bit younger, you don't.
Yeah, you don't think about it.
No,
it's more so the fact of it's not having like socks and underwear, but it's like match like pairs of socks. Like I've got shitloads of like one socks, but then when you get a new pair for Christmas, yeah. Like you know what, I needed them. You don't really need them. You just got fucking 80 white socks in your drawer that you just need to pair up. But yeah, I know the feeling. The older you get with it, yeah, great with it. Great for that sort of stuff.
Dave's got all this to come when he moves out, but even like new cleaning products and stuff. I'm like, I mean, you might not be really cleaning.
I had that last Christmas. Like, obviously, I thought being mine, I had like a big like oven gloves and shit. I was like, oh yeah, that sounds to be fair.
So. I bet you never don't use that oven once. You need to get an air fryer though, mate. When you move,
air fryer.
That is honestly, there's many things. If my air fryer broke, there's many things I'd do to get a replacement. You know what I mean? It's MVP, mate. I'm telling you. Probably the most valuable product in the owl house. I love it.
After the kettle, it's like up there.
Yeah.
Are you both coffee tea drinkers?
Coffee.
Tea.
Right. Tea. I'm tea. Like, I do like a coffee, but I prefer it.
Black coffee I have. Unless it's like the filtered shit, I have to have it with a bit of milk.
I've tried with coffee like so many times. I tell people, everyone's like, oh, you don't drink coffee? And I'm like, nah, I said, you'll definitely like this. If you like tea, you'll definitely like this. I'm like, right, go on, then I'll have one. It's just like, I can't get into it.
I do like a proper coffee, but tea, it's a treat that is. If I go for a walk, I'll go and get a coffee and have a walk. Something like that. It's not. Do you drink a lot of tea, Jord?
I'll probably have 3 or 4 a day. Maybe 3. Decaf. Sports Direct mug. What's your tipple of tea bag? That's another question, isn't it?
It's going to make me sound like a mad Tory, but I'm very keen on Yorkshire Gold.
Oh, wow.
What's yours?
I'm a PG Tips fan, to be fair.
I do like PG Tips. PG Tips.
Again, back in the day, they used that. And again, before your time, I'm not even going to... I know this is my time. You used to get PG Tips pack, and you used to have, like, the monkeys in the cars.
Yeah.
Like Kevin the monkey. Did you used to have those when you used to come in the thing?
I remember the beanie monkey that they brought out.
Yeah. And they had, like... Yeah, so before the beanie monkey with Johnny Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
You used to have TV adverts.
They
used to have like monkeys like in like go-karts and stuff, which is obviously pretty illegal now when you think about TV advertising. But if you look at the old PG Tips adverts, and they used to sell the monkey figurines in the PG Tips.
Has anyone ever told you that you look a bit like Johnny Vegas, John?
I mean, if it was about 10 stone heavier, maybe.
To be fair,
he's meant to be proper sound as well. Johnny Vegas.
George, he's not a wanker.
No. Johnny Vegas apparently is proper sound.
You look like you've lost weight, George.
I am trying. I was in good shape a few years ago. COVID happened, and I just started binging on sweets and chocolate and Coca-Cola, not Coca-Cola.
Oh, you should be losing weight.
He's ready for the big event, that's why. He's ready for the football.
I'm getting ready for the football, yeah. So, yeah, trying, but yeah. Thanks for that. I am trying.
No, you're looking well, mate. It's the most important feature of the podcast now, back by popular demand, i.e. you two wanted it back. It is the career path game, so I've got 5 players here. I'm gonna list their career from start to finish, and I want you to call out a name. If you shout out an incorrect name, you have to wait until someone else calls out a name. You are frozen. If it gets to the end, and we've still not got an answer, I'll give you 30 seconds each. 30 seconds for you to name it, and there's no being frozen out. You can just keep shouting out names till one of you gets it right.
Yeah.
Understood? You ready to go?
Let's go.
Cool. This player started his career at Wolverhampton Wanderers in 1998, where he scored 13 goals in 71 appearances. During his time at Wolves, he went on loan to Clyde, Nottingham Forest, Tranmere Rovers, Sheffield Wednesday, before leaving the club in 2003, where he joined Sheffield Wednesday.
Proudlock.
Permanent. Fucking hell, yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Proudlock.
Yeah.
Why?
Superb. Bosh. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Proud as punch, ain't you? Look at you.
Oh, okay.
Look at you.
Fucking hell.
Okay. You not get that one, Jordan. I thought you would have got that one, to be fair.
I was waiting for the next club. I was thinking Leon Clark a little bit, but because he went everywhere. I was waiting for a bit too early. Fair play.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's go.
This player started his career at Strasbourg in 1998, where he made zero appearances and scored zero goals before leaving in 1999, where he joined Neuchâtel Xamax, where he scored 17 goals in 32 games. He then moved to Grasshoppers in 2000, where he scored 3 goals in 11 games before moving to Sedan in 2001, where he stayed there for 2 years, scoring 22
goals. Henri Kamara.
Fucking, he's in there again. Yeah, Henri Kamara. Jordan, mate, come on. I know it's late, but you're in the game.
It is in the game. I was not thinking Henri Kamara then. I was waiting for the next club. I had someone in my head then, but I ain't going to say in case it comes up in the next one. Around that time. I'll wait and see. I don't want to put the name in Dave's head.
Okay.
Not really. I guarantee you
it's not going to be him, but...
Let's go.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah.
George, you can't be whitewashed, by the way.
It's a £50
fine. Yeah. This player started his career at Benfica in 2010. Where he stayed there for 3 years until 2013. He made 7 appearances, scored 0 goals. During his time at Benfica, he had 2 loan spells, one between 2011 and 2012, where he was on loan at Servette, where he had 24 appearances, and then a loan spell in 2012, where he joined Deportivo La Coruña and made 3 appearances.
Ivan Cavallero.
Neither.
Over to you, Dave. In 2020...
Did you hear my answer though? Sorry, not?
Yeah, it's wrong. Sorry, in 2012 and 2013, he made 5 appearances for Benfica B.
Before this now, too.
Yeah, just wait until the end. And then in 2013, he moved to Rio Ave, making 72 appearances, scoring 4 goals.
Oh, I know it.
In 2017, he moved to Wolverhampton Wanderers, where he made 17 appearances. Whilst at Wolverhampton Wanderers, he had 2 loan spells, one in 2018 to 19, where he joined Olympiacos and made 8 appearances.
Oh, no,
and then
it,
2020, where he made 24 appearances, scoring 2 goals for Famalicão. In 2021, he moved to Gaziantep, making 13 appearances, and he's now currently at Melbourne Victory. He joined them in 2021. He's made 43 appearances, scoring 2 goals.
Roderick Miranda.
It's Roderick Miranda.
Yes. Mate, that took me a while to get that, you know. I forgot. He went to Olympiacos as well.
Olympiacos. Oh, let me have a drink of water because this is a bit of a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It could be a whitewash. It's on.
Jord, you can't let this happen to yourself, mate.
I know.
You both ready?
Yeah, it might happen, though.
It might. This player started his career at Arsenal in 2000, making 0 appearances. He left the club in 2006, but he did make 3 loan moves during his time. In 2002-03, he moved to Beveren, where he made 24 appearances, scoring 0 goals. In 2004-05, he moved to Millwall, made 26 appearances, scoring 0 goals. And then he played 1 appearance between 2005 and 2006 for Reading. He then joined Reading permanently in 2006. But he unfortunately never made an appearance for the club. He had a few loan spells during his time at Reading. In 2006-07, he played for Leeds United 12 times. And then in 2007-08, he joined Wolverhampton Wanderers on loan, making 2 appearances. He then joined Plymouth Argyle in 2008-09, making five appearances.
Graham Stack.
It's Graham Stack. The white washes off.
He'd been sacked from Maccabi Tel Aviv as the goalkeeper coach recently for fighting in a nightclub.
He punched someone in.
That was in Israel.
On the pitch, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was mad. He was one of the ones that got the crossbar, didn't he, for Wolves when they got the record?
Yeah. Soccer AM.
Who was it? He was on under the cosh, and basically he had. I think he was at Wolves still, and they're on the motorway on the coach. You know, on the coaches like on the they've got like the door on the back like open for an emergency. There was basically a car going next to him with a trailer on the back of a motorbike, and he jumped out the side and got onto the trailer and was sat on the motorbike and was like, I think it was Mick McCarthy who was the manager. Was it Mick McCarthy who was the manager?
It would have been McCarthy, yeah.
Yeah, and Mick was like doing his nut and he was going like, he walked past the coach on his motorbike on the trailer. Oh, a proper character was Graham Stack. Yeah. Not the best footballer, but yeah, bit of a hot-headed bloke. Final one, the whitewash is off. But Dave, you could make it 4-1 here. George, you can make it a little bit more respectable. Are you boys both ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah,
let's go for it.
This player started his career at Rochdale in 1991, making 158 appearances, scoring 10 goals before moving to Bury in 1996, making 84 appearances, scoring 4 goals. In 1998, this player moved to Sunderland, making 79 appearances, scoring 3 goals. During his time at Sunderland, he joined Wolverhampton Wanderers on loan between 2000 and 2001 and made 5 appearances. He then made the switch to Molineux permanent in 2001, making 119 appearances, scoring
Alex
3
Wright.
Goals. No, before moving to Leeds United in 2004, making 99 appearances, scoring 4 goals. He moved to Milton Keynes Dons on loan in 06-07, making 8 appearances before joining them permanently at the end of the season, where he made 9 appearances. He then moved to Chester City in 2007. He finished his career there in 2009, making 35 appearances, scoring 2 goals. I will call out the international career before I open it back out to both of you. He made 1 international appearance in 2000, and that was for the Republic of Ireland.
It's too early for him, I think. Stephen Gleeson?
You've got 30 seconds from now, both of you.
It's not Stephen Gleeson, though.
No, not Stephen Gleeson.
Can we have a clue?
Nah. Yep. His position was centre back.
Gary Breen?
No.
Neil Collins?
No. Rochdale, Bury, Sunderland, Wolves, Leeds United, Milton Keynes, Chester. 10 seconds. He's now 50 years of age.
That career path rings a bell, and I just can't think of it.
He won Michael, the first division. He won the first division playoff with Wolves in 2003. 5 seconds.
Paul Butler.
It's Paul Butler.
Oh, I never thought that was career path.
One of the playoff finals. I've got to have a guess here.
Paul Butler. Paul Butler.
Paul Butler.
Pat Butcher.
Pat Butcher.
I've updated the scores anyway.
Absolutely superb. Good game, that. There's some tough ones in there. Some real tough ones. I need to make a note of players I've actually called out because I'm probably repeating more than a few. Yeah.
The Henri Camara shout, I can say it now. I was thinking Vio Ganea. I thought he was going to end up at Vio Ganea.
Because I put a more recent one in for Finn because I thought he was going to be on the podcast, but unfortunately he's stuck in Manchester.
I don't think Finn would have got any of them. Maybe Miranda.
I think he would have got Miranda or Kamara because Kamara was like quite...
I don't think he would have got Kamara.
No. He was supporting Man United at the time, so... it made a difference. Dave, anything else to shout out? Molineux sleep out? Anything?
Yeah, I'll put a link to that as well. We did the Molineux sleep out, which is sometime in November. I think it's during the international break. So I'll leave a link to that if you want to obviously donate towards our page. Well, we'll put the link to the seven-a-side football thing as well. Sorry. So they both go to Wolves Foundation. If you want to chuck a fiver in both or a couple of quid in both, obviously it means a lot. So I'll leave a link to both in the description.
Wonderful stuff. Dave, where can people find you should they wish to follow you?
At Dave as a party on Twitter and Instagram.
George, how about you, mate?
George was 7 on Twitter and Instagram.
I am Matt Cooper Bites and M Cooper Writes. We are, of course, Talking Wolves across all social media platforms. Let us know if you've been playing along with the Career Path game. Let us know your scores down below in the comments section. If you've enjoyed the podcast, make sure you give us a like or a 5-star review if you're listening on Apple and Spotify. That'd be really appreciated. And if you're not subscribed on YouTube, make sure you hit that subscribe button. But yeah, until next time, hopefully next week's is another positive podcast as we've overcome Aston Villa at home. But until then, take care and enjoy the rest of your week.